Time now for Scottsburg Sports Central, the first podcast dedicated to all things Scottsburg athletics. Joining I-105.3 middays, Todd Richmond, is Jamie Lowry, athletic director for Scottsburg High School.
Welcome to another edition of Scottsburg Sports Central. Todd Richmond here, along with Jamie Lowry, athletic director at Scott County District 2.
Yes, sir.
And we haven't talked in a while.
We haven't.
It's been, what, probably about 3 or 4 weeks,
I think. We broke up or something.
No. I would never forget you, Jamie. How would I ever, how can I ever forget you, man?
It's been busy.
We've been together for a long time. Actually, you and I have known each other for ages.
I've known you when you had different names and everything.
And hair.
And hair, yeah.
That was a long time ago, yeah. John Ross had hair back when we,
a long time ago.
I've known you longer than I've known your sister, and I've known your sister forever, too. Yeah. So there you go. Well, we've had a lot of things have happened since we last talked on this show.
We have, yeah.
We pretty much wrapped up the basketball season for both the girls and the boys. Mm-hmm. We have not talked since the girls' sectional.
Since girls' sectional. So we've, obviously for the boys' team, they finished the season strong. They really did. We shot the ball really well down in North Harrison and then turned around and played a really good Southwestern team. Shot the ball great the first quarter of that game. And then, Southwestern plays really good defense. They're well coached. And we were hanging with them, missed a few shots, and they pulled out the victory over us. And then, but we played some other tough teams down the stretch where I felt like we could win. But what really hurt was the James County game, which James County won their sectional. We're leading that entire game, and Darryl Bowles goes down with an ankle injury at the end of that game.
Mm.
So tie game, he has to go to the bench. They wind up winning the game. Then Darryl couldn't play the next game. So that hurt not having him at Mitchell for that game. Mm. And then we didn't have him at the sectional game against Jeffersonville, which, Jeffersonville, in my opinion, is people can argue this, but we'll see how it plays out. But in my opinion, they're the second best team in the state behind Fishers. And I think they've got a chance where, they're the one team I feel like that could probably beat Fishers, in that one game scenario, state title. You never know what happens. They've got three Division I players. So, of course, who do we draw first game of our boys' section?
Sure.
Jeffersonville.
Naturally.
And former Mr. Basketball star Sharon Wilkerson's their coach. And so he's been there, done that. They won a state title when he played at Jeff. But our boys battled hard, played a great first quarter against them. It wound up, I think, Sharon was, you could tell he was a little frustrated with the way our boys played. I think he thought it might be a little bit easier. I know, at the end of the day, it's a 30-point victory for Jeff, but we played him hard, and the boys battled, especially not having Darryl. And that had to be tough for Darryl being a senior in his last game and not being able to play. I don't know what that would feel like, for him, but Darryl's, I know, is a competitor, and he competes hard at everything he does, and he's a winner. And so I know that had to be tough for him to sit out and not be able to play a game.
Oh, I'm sure. Yep. Well, yeah, that was a tough draw to start off, yeah.
And it's not, let's be honest, it's not fair you have the success factor, but, we can argue that till we're blue in the face. I think that's a conversation I'd love to have with the IHSAA and – because I think others have been in the same boat where, that success factor is, it really goes against the public schools where you have generational talent that comes through your community and it leaves the kids behind it in a situation where they got to go up against. But on the same token, everybody's going to say, well, the sectional we would have been in was probably one of the best in the state too, because that 3A sectional with Silver Creek and Brownstown and Corydon and Charlestown, those four teams right there are about as good as any 3A teams in the state.
Right.
So, I mean, it wouldn't have been easy either way,
right.
But it's still a difficult task going up against a team that has three Division I players on it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's their enrollment's about three times as much as yours. So that makes it tough.
Yeah, well, Jeffersonville is always a powerhouse anyway. So
yep.
I mean, and they're still playing. They're still in it.
They're still in it. And I think I took my son. We went up. Andrew and I went up Saturday. We decided to make a little day of it, we went up to the Hall of Fame and hung around there for a couple hours.
Saw that.
Got to see the, you know, he wanted to see the Scottsburg display because when you win state, they put your display up for a year. So it's coming down here in a couple weeks. So we wanted to get up there. He wanted to see it. He wanted to see that. They've got a nice, really cool video interactive display that's amazing. You got to get up there and see that.
Yeah, that was cool.
So we did that, and then we just decided to drive on up the road about another 20 miles and went to Muncie Central to the old field house there and watched that sectional championship game between Greenfield Central, who has probably he'll be Mr. Basketball, Braylon Mullins, and then they were playing Mount Vernon, which, you know, Mount Vernon's probably a lot of people sleeping on Mount Vernon. They're a really good team. They've got a 6'3 point guard that's a junior. He's already verbally committed to Purdue.
Wow.
And he basically won the game for him in double overtime. So we got to see a great game. Got to see two great players, one that's going to be Mr. Basketball, one that's got a chance to be Mr. Basketball the next year. So, you know, it gave us a chance with no games of our own to go up and kind of do stuff like that. And it's just kind of neat to go around the state and see different teams. And just based off of what I saw there, that's what makes me feel even stronger about a team like Jeffersonville from the South.
Sure.
Making a run where, you know, no disrespect to them, but Jeffersonville is good.
Right.
I mean, they're really good.
Right. That's it. That's kind of fun to watch a game with no dog in the fight.
Yep.
And, yeah, just to be able to relax and enjoy.
Then I find out, you know, because we're up there in Muncie and Ball State's right there, and Cody Clancy was at the game. We didn't get to see him, but I find out from his father that Cody was at the game, you know, because I think their season was done. I was like, well, I wish I'd have known. I should have reached out to him.
Sure.
But, it, you know, that just kind of tells you there was a lot of people there. The Mullins kid's probably about as good a high school basketball player that I've personally seen in my lifetime.
Mm.
He's going to UConn. He's a McDonald's All-American. He'll probably be Mr. Basketball. I think his only competition for that would have been Trent Sisley, who wound up going, you know, down to that academy down in Florida. So, basically, it's a one-horse race, in my opinion. I think he's got it locked up. But it was fun. It was fun for Andrew to see it, seeing a double overtime game like that. You know, the Ertl kid hit a three-pointer right at the end of regulation to send it to overtime. He's just a winner, and that's what separated them between you know, Greenfield Central that night was the fact that, you know, nothing against the Mullins kid, but that Earl kid, he's just a winner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I bet that was
fun to watch.
I bet that was fun to watch. So the seniors, recognizing the seniors that wrapped up their basketball careers here in Scottsburg.
The seniors, they, you know, obviously this year was, you know, didn't have a lot of the wins that they were used to, but the three previous years, and you look at their 4 years overall, you know, they had two straight years of winning over 20 games,
right.
16 games, I think their freshman year, you know, and probably the toughest thing for this senior class was, you know, some of their classmates transferring early on in their high school careers and not having them there and not playing with them after they played with them all through elementary and middle school. And so this class has seen some adversity, but they've also seen a lot of success.
Sure.
So, you know, you'd love to see them going on a high note on that senior night at home against James County, and they almost pulled off. That would have been a big upset.
Oh, yeah.
Because James County has an all-star candidate, too, as well. So it's – but, you know, good group of young men. Every single one, I'm proud of them. You know, they played hard. They played well. And like I said, they played their best basketball – of their lives those last four or five games of the season. So it was great to see them,
right,
you know, go out playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's great.
Yep.
That's great. Great. The girls, we should mention, we haven't talked about them since they played the sectional. So, and they lost to Silver Creek in the semis.
Yep.
69-48. Ellie Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about her.
So she's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't sugarcoat it. She's good.
Yeah.
She's about – and I ran into Johnny Goyen over at the Madison boys game earlier in the season. And, you know, no disrespect, we've been really lucky to have the number of all-stars and the talent we've had in our girls program in the Warriorettes from the time it started when Donna started in 1972 all the way to today. And I told Johnny that, you know, his sister Kara's, you know, she was runner-up for Miss Basketball her senior year, and, of course, then the next year Renee was Miss Basketball.
Right.
I said, those are probably the only two players I would definitely say I'm going to put them ahead of Ellie. The rest of them, all-stars and people that should have been all-stars, like a Melinda Sparkman or a Patty Hutchison, you know, and then all the all-stars we had, Ellie's right there with them. She's as good as just about anybody we've had, and we've had some great talent. And, she went up for the top 60 workout this past Sunday,
yeah.
Which For those that don't understand how that works, that's basically the Hoosier Basketball Magazine and the Indiana Basketball Coach Association. They invite the top 60 seniors for a workout to kind of pick the all-star team. And so, but I'm going to be honest with you, the all-star team for the most part is already figured before you get to that point. But that is a chance for the ones. They pick 13 players. I would say that half of those spots were sewn up before that the workout even started. You knew that there's six or seven that were definitely, they're going to be on the all-star team regardless.
Right.
So that leaves the other six, seven spots kind of up for grabs. So this is a chance for some of those other young ladies to showcase what they got against the best talent in the state. And they break it up into two different groups. And, you know, the reports I got back was Ellie did really well up there, performed really well. Of course, you know, last year on the boys' side, Jack Miller, that's, you know, he was one that Mike Broughton, who is the director of the all-star teams, and in a sense he picks the teams, he was high on Jack before we got to that point, but then Jack had a good workout, and that really helped get him on the all-star team. So you kind of hope that Ellie's about as deserving as anybody I've been around. There's we've never had a player in our school history score over 1,600 points, have over 500 rebounds, and over 500 assists. She's the only one.
Wow.
You know, we've had a missed basketball. We've had all these other all-stars. She's the only one to ever do that.
That's amazing.
It is. And, you know, it's she works hard. She's a winner. She's a killer. She's the girl you want on your team. You don't want to walk in the gym and have to face her. You want to, you know. And the thing that I really like is all the opposing coaches, every single one of them, have spoken up for Ellie, and they back her, and they support her and think that she should be on that all-star team, and they understand how good of a player she is. So, you know, for her, I hope she makes it because she's very deserving. But, you know, when you're taking the top 13 players out of state, when like Indiana in basketball, I mean, that's kind of tough sometimes, you know. You wish they would kind of just go ahead and expand it to 15 maybe, but
– Sure.
But, you know, it's – but we'll see, because usually the timeline, based off of what I've seen in the past, we should know the team on Monday.
Oh.
And then a week from like today or a week from tomorrow, we'll know who Miss Basketball will be. But I think they will notify the players and their families sometime going into the weekend that, hey, you made the team. Just don't say anything. The press release will come out Monday, and then after right. that you can tell everybody. So she may know, her mom and dad may know, her coach may know here hopefully in the next 24 to 48 hours, and then we can let everybody know on Monday hopefully. But it's got to be tough waiting, you know, to find out.
We should have recorded this later.
Yeah, we could have. Yeah.
We're too early.
I know. Oh, well, hey, that gives us a topic for the next one.
We may, well, or do an addendum to this.
Yeah, there you go.
We may have to record a second part of this later on. I don't know. Well, that's great.
And I see you got Lola written down. Lola was...
Yes, Lola
Fouts. Lola was honorable mention, all MSC, and Lola also just made the... Which is very tough on the... She's a 4.0 student. She's got excellent SAT scores, but she made academic state... All-state honorable mention, and that just tells you like how tough it is to be all-state. So the girls that did make academic all-state, you're talking about some great students, and because Lola's definitely one, and so that's a big deal. Just even being honorable mention academic all-state by the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. So you know, some of them kind of it's watered down. You know, if you just meet certain criteria, you're automatically academic all-state.
Right.
With this, the coaches, I mean, they really, it's, you got to not only be a 4.0 student, but you need to also have, you know, extremely high SAT scores. And so that was a good honor for her to get that.
That's great. Well, that's wonderful. Well, good, good. Now, any senior, we should mention the girl seniors as well.
Just those two, Lola and Ellie.
That's it?
That's it. They were the only seniors. You know, they will be missed. They were the leaders, obviously, of that team. You know, Lola, her whole career pretty much was undersized and played like she's one of them players where if you could take her heart and kind of put it in everybody else that has the size, the talent, whatever, because she just plays so hard and she, you know, she's a great shooter.
Yeah.
Set a state record hitting, going 7-for-7 from 3-point range in a game this year. You know, and of course, Ellie set some state records and school records. So both of them, they're going to be missed big time next year.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, we wish them the best.
Yep.
And good luck to Ellie. Good luck. Well, like I said, if we have to add something to it, we will. We will at the end here.
We can.
All right. It's baseball season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Be hearing the crack of the bat soon, won't we?
I know. I can't wait. Personally, I'm excited for baseball season.
When spring sports starts, my first year as AD, I was told, "Hey, look, it's a sprint to the finish. Your fall season kind of goes along and it goes relatively fast, but you know there's a lot to it. And then all of a sudden, you're going right into your winter sports, which winter seems like takes forever, even though you only got four sports. But then you get to spring and that first contest, and the next thing you know, it's graduation. You've got sectionals. It will fly by. So any chance you get to get out and watch our baseball team, our softball team, our boys volleyball team,
right,
girls tennis, boys golf,
right,
track and field. I mean, there's so much going on that, you know, it's busy. It's extremely busy, and you get a couple days of rain, and you got to cancel stuff, and then you're trying to make stuff up, and it just goes and it flies by. So you get a chance, make sure and get out. Of course, all our schedules are on our website, scottsburgathletics.com.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure, check it out. And if you go to the site, that's the best thing to do, because anytime we have to cancel something or reschedule, our software we use automatically syncs with the website.
Right.
So those changes will reflect on there, and you'll be able to know. And, of course, you know, we post stuff anytime something's canceled on our Facebook, on our Twitter or X or whatever Elon wants to call it. We'll call it X.
X.
And it, yeah. Instagram, it's all on there. We post. So if there's any changes to our schedule, we'll make sure and post it there to keep it up. But you know, our softball program, new coach this year, James Koppel, kind of a rebuild year. They're young. So it's going to be a growing year for them. Then we've got a big class of eighth graders that'll be coming in next year. So, you know, there's exciting things coming for the softball program, but you know, it's fun. The girls play hard. And of course we play over by the Little League field over at Gene Phillips Field. So make sure, you know, if you get a chance to come and support the girls. Baseball team, Brent Kendall signed with Ball State.
Right.
He's pretty good talent.
Nice.
He can hit the ball a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about seeing him this year, senior year, and what kind of numbers he can put up out there. And, you know, the baseball team in general should be pretty competitive, should have a really good season. And, you know, the sectionals of Madison this year for baseball and you know, staying healthy and competing, I think our boys' team this year would have a pretty good shot at competing in that sectional. I don't know who the favorite would be. I think every team in that sectional this year probably thinks they would have a good shot at winning it.
Sure.
It's pretty balanced because Silver Creek, because of the success factor, they've moved up to 4A. So that kind of opens the field up to a lot of the teams. And so it should be really good. But, again, the baseball field, it's actually at the high school. So if you get a chance, make sure and come out and support the boys because, you know, like I said, there's pretty good talent out there.
I thought you would by now be pushing for a dome stadium so you wouldn't have to miss any games.
Let me check my checking account here. See what. We'll have to wait on that.
Haven't gotten that dome stadium approved yet.
Not yet.
You keep working on that.
You know, I want to say this. You know, I think a lot of schools go into turf fields and they think it's good. It's, you know, the one thing that as long as, and I've said this to people and they know, you know, because people ask when we get in turf. Hopefully never.
Yeah.
Hopefully never.
Yep.
And right there, I just saved you $2 million on one field.
There you go.
So I do not like turf. I get that it's handy to have, so it keeps you from having rainouts.
Sure.
But, you know, you ask any NFL player, they will say if their owners cared anything about them, they would have a natural surface.
That's right. Yep,
and our natural surfaces, every single one of our fields are about as fine as you're going to find anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as long as I'm around, I hope we never have turf. And the only reason to do it would be to keep up with the Joneses. And I just, you know, to me, people think there's no care to them, like it just takes care of himself. No, there's still a lot of work on those fields you have to do. It's not just put it in and then worry about it. It's just like carpet in your house. You got to rip it up and replace it after so many years.
Right.
So, love my grass, the green grass growing, mowing it and everything. So hopefully we stay there forever.
I'm with you.
And
on
I just saved the tax. Like I said, I just saved the taxpayers at least $2 million.
That's good of you. Yeah. That's fine. And the taxpayers appreciate that too.
I hope so.
That's right. Now here's the subject near and dear to you, the golf.
Yes. You know, golf has become one of those sports because of social media that has grown exponentially, and I love it. Because for a while, every for every two or three golfers we were losing, we were only replacing them with one.
Mm.
You know, people were aging out of golf. Like, it just wasn't cool. It wasn't, even with Tiger, like the boom of when Tiger Woods was really hot.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look back, that's 25 years ago now, whenever he was at his peak.
Yeah.
And so with TikTok and Instagram and, you know, Netflix with the Full Swing reality show, Bryson DeChambeau, what he does, it has sparked interest like nothing else in golf. I just got, before, as I was walking in here, the athletic director at Cordon Central said, hey, are you going to have a full team for your golf this year? I'm like, yeah, we'll have a full team of more. We have about 20 young men on our golf team.
Wow.
And he said, it's crazy. Everybody has numbers like that. Even the smaller 1A schools who in the past might send one or two golfers to your event, they've got 10, 12 kids on their team this year. So golf is, you know, it used to kind of be one of them country club type sports where only the people with the money that could afford to do that were out there doing it. Now, now, and it's also one of them sports I tell kids all the time, it, you need to be multi-sport, do something else. And golf's the one thing that you can do. And Gene Rogers, we, everybody knows in this town knows Gene Rogers. He, he golfed up until he was about 95 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We have people at the golf course, they will golf until they're in their 80s, 90s. My dad is 80. He will be 84 this year. He's out there every morning golfing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of them things that keep you active, keep you competitive. And, you know, it, a lot of the athletes, if you got hand-eye coordination, it's one of the things a lot of them will pick it up pretty quick, and it's fun. And but, yeah, we're excited about the golf season as well because that's a situation where at our sectional over at Madison at Sunrise Golf Course, we've got an opportunity to possibly win a sectional this year. Won't be easy, but we've got an opportunity. Dare Bowles is our number one golfer, and he was a Mid-Southern Conference champ last year. So it should be fun for those boys this year to have an opportunity to possibly win the school's first sectional. We've had some great, great individual golf talent, but we've never won a sectional in golf.
Wow, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow. Well, good luck to it. Good luck to the golf team this year. One more thing to bring up on my sheet, and that's Greg Horde.
Yes. And, you know, again, kind of going in the time machine there, a lot of people that if they knew of Greg, they didn't realize he was from Scottsburg, that he went to Scottsburg High School. You and I, we probably been associated with this area in the Cincinnati Reds and being around, we knew Greg as a sports reporter for the Fox News over in Cincinnati.
Right.
And he's written books, you know, some sports books and stuff. He is a famous sports icon in the Cincinnati area.
Right.
And he grew up in Blotcher, went to Scottsburg High School. He was on that 1969 team with Bill Mack James that, you know, probably one of the greatest teams in school history. And, but yeah, I was kind of shocked. It's weird how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to the point here. Is you're gonna think, what's he talking about?
That's but all right. Take
I had to have the IT guys restore my laptop because we were having problems logging in with it, and there was issues. Said, well, we're just gonna have to reset it. Well, in the meantime, the backup of one of my websites gone, so I had to rebuild that. The whole website, the basketball website, I had to rebuild the whole thing.
Mm.
So I was going through pictures trying to find stuff, and I come across pictures of Greg Horde. And immediately I think, I wonder how Greg's doing. I wonder what, you know, like, and in my mind I'm just going through all this thing. You know, people around here don't realize how popular and famous Greg was. And this picture that I found was a picture from when we had the, maybe their 30-year, no, it would have been 35.
Yeah.
Or 40. Anyway, we had a reunion back in Meyer Gym, and he came. He actually showed up.
Right.
And there was pictures from that, and I thought, that's pretty cool. I ought to reach out, try to find what – and it was just maybe a couple days after that, a day or two after that, that I got the news that he had passed away, and I thought, man, you know, that's one of my opportunities. I
should have
reached out.
Yeah,
and,
they should have with us.
You know, yeah, but it's just how I hadn't thought about Greg or anything in quite a long time and come across those pictures – at that time was just, you know, made you think. But yeah,
know.
Greg was a great, you know, great sports writer for and actually, I mean, he was on the news. I mean, he was on TV. He was a great personality over there in Cincinnati. So I'm sure that community, that was a big loss for them and for this community as well. People from the, you know, late 60s remember him playing for the Warriors. You know, they were ran into some people later that night. The Lions Club had their night at the races, and we were out there, and there were some people that, you know, had went to school with him, graduated with him, and, you know, they reminisced about him, and you know, so, yeah, it's that's a big loss.
Right, right. Well, God rest his soul, and to his family. We were thinking about you as well. Yep. So yeah, very sad. Well, and to the, you know, to the, I'm sure he was a big Reds fan and all that other stuff. So there you go. Have I missed anything? Anything you can think of?
I think we're good. You know, like you said, we may have to come back and do
an update on Ellie.
Yeah, to see what happens there. But hopefully we get that news sooner than later. So, because I know mom and dad are probably on pins and needles and wanting to know. And I'm sure Ellie is too, because, you know, she worked hard and that's something she wanted. So if we do, once I find out, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Very good. There may be an addendum to this, or there may be a very short next version of this. You just keep an eye on the website here, and we'll let you know what the latest news is. That's Scottsburg Sports Central with Jamie Lowry. I'm Todd Richman.
This has been Scottsburg Sports Central, featuring I-105.3 Middays, Todd Richman, and Jamie Lowry, Athletic Director for Scottsburg High School. This has been Scottsburg Sports Central, the first podcast dedicated to all things Scottsburg athletics.